I want to thank everybody for the help that they gave us last night, yesterday. It wouldn't have been possible without that help. And I want to, don't know whether to thank Rob or not, for bringing my long lost cousin from Drake, which I've never met before. It's interesting. So that was different. Oh dear, I'm dropping papers. We turn to, if you have Bibles, turn to Luke's Gospel and chapter 10. Reading from verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. And a priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Let's just bow our heads in prayer, shall we? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, and our Redeemer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you know our hearts, and we pray that by your Holy Spirit you'll speak to each one of us and bless this word to us. And we ask it in Jesus our Saviour's name. Amen. Interesting, very simple story told by our Lord here. And as a text, I've chosen this. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" And I want to bring that question to us, but to run through the story that Jesus told us as it was. This expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Amazing how they wanted, the people in authority wanted to test Jesus at different times. And he proceeded to ask him one of two questions. And the first question is this: what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Interesting that the lawyer addresses Jesus as teacher. respectfully, and Jesus responds as an equal. Now Jesus asks the lawyer, well, what is written in the law? How do you read it? He obviously is well versed in the law, and he answers by quoting from Deuteronomy and Leviticus, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, you've answered correctly, do this and live. I believe that's impossible without the Holy Spirit in our hearts. But Jesus, that's what Jesus said, that it was that he do this and live. And he needed more than just the law to live. But that's another point of the whole story, really. We find that this man wanted to justify himself. And I was thinking about this. How often do we want to justify our actions and our thoughts? This man wanted to justify what he had said or what he had asked. And so he puts it again to Jesus. And who is my neighbour? And we find that Jesus here comes and tells him about this story. The man asks, who is my neighbour? And again, I say, I want to ask that question to each of us this morning. And to myself, who is my neighbour? Who is my neighbour? And Jesus tells this simple story, so simple yet incredible that Jesus, the Son of God, should tell such a simple story which is so full of meaning. The man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, we went down there and it's a long, twisty road, dusty road, and just the sort of place where robbers could hide. I think Dan will have been down that road a few times as well. And it just lends itself to somebody being attacked. It's going down to Jericho. And Jericho is, I've forgotten the number, but Jericho is much deeper. It's right below sea level. Jerusalem's right above. Do you know the figures, Dan?
It's the lowest in the world.
Lowest in the world, well, that's interesting. But you have to go down to this Jericho. And this man was going down and he was attacked. He fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes and beat him. Went away, leaving him half dead. And then Jesus says that the priest happened to be going down the same road and saw him, but passed by on the other side. And a priest, who does the priest represent? The priest represented the people before God. The priest was the person that offered sacrifices for sins and prescribed as prescribed in the law. But the priest had a solid excuse, because in the law it says, do not touch. The priest must not touch a dead or dying body, even holding a hand over it. That's what the law said. And he had a real excuse that he didn't have to go and do anything to this poor man. Remember that the priest was a Jew and the man that had been attacked and lying on the ground was a Jew. And he had this valid excuse and he went and passed by on the other side. You know, the man was there lying in agony. You know, we've had quite a hot sun recently, a while ago now. We've forgotten about it this week, but that's by. But the sun can be so powerful on your body, and to be beaten up and to have the sun so pouring onto you, and the man was half dead. It's an awful situation. And it begs the question, what would you and I have done? I was interested to see that several occasions on television where people have been hurt. There was a woman in London who was squashed between two cars, and how people rushed to help her. And I thought, that's good. People do have compassion and help. But this priest, a man of God, the man of the cloth, as they say, walked by on the other side. Maybe he got a meeting to go to. Maybe he was short of time. All sorts of reasons, and the law, what the law said. But he passed by on the other side. And it begs the question, you know, where would we be in a situation? We would, I'm sure we would help. I had, as an agricultural chaplain, I had a privilege of being trained by the Samaritans for purposes of suicide or anything like that. You had the training. And the Samaritans, although they don't hold to any particular religion or faith, they do a great job. They are there to have compassion and help where a person is desperate. And this story of the Samaritan speaks of that and the compassion that people do have. You know, we need compassion. This priest seemingly had no compassion. You know, there's a little story that we read about, Margaret and I read about a lady called Barbara, not this Barbara, but a Barbara, who grew up in a care of the British government in the 1960s. But when she turned 16, she and her newborn son, Simon, became homeless. The state was no longer obliged to provide for her at that age. Barbara wrote to the Queen of England. This is a true story, by the way. Barbara wrote to the Queen of England for help and received a response. The Queen compassionately arranged for Barbara to be given a house of her own. The Queen of England had the right resources to help Barbara, and her compassionate assistance can be seen as a small picture of God's help. The King of Heaven knows all of our needs and sovereignty. How lovely, isn't it, that the Queen should do that for a 16-year-old? I'm sure she can't do it very often, but it was a story, a true story of compassion. This priest had no compassion. And then we read, Jesus says, the Levite came along. A Levite. Now, a Levite was one step down from the priest in authority. And we read that he, too, came to the place and he passed by on the other side. And you're thinking, why? He hadn't got the excuse. He had not got the law that the priest had, saying that he must not touch. But he didn't do anything. His responsibilities in the temple were singing psalms during the service, or he did construction work and maintenance work and serving as guards, different to the priest, but the law, but he didn't have an excuse. What would prevent him from going? And why did Jesus choose two religious leaders? Two! And they both passed by on the other side. This is a story, this is not necessarily a real incident, but it's a story that Jesus told to bring out a heavenly meaning. Had they no compassion? A fellow Jew there lying, had they no compassion for him from being a person that in the cloth, as we say, should have compassion, surely. And then thinking about the priest first and then the Levite. thinking about the priest brought me to the fact that Jesus had such compassion on us and came down from heaven to die for us. And in Hebrews we read, Hebrews 4:14, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses." A high priest who has such compassion. I was listening to somebody recently explain what it cost Jesus to come down. He had everything in heaven. He had the whole world in his hands. He had the authority. He had everything. And he chose to give that up for us. The compassion of the high priest in contrast to this priest and this Levite. We realize again that the Levite may have been late for a meeting or something, I don't know. I read the illustration out to Margaret where somebody was on the way to a conference, a Christian conference, and he hadn't got the time to stop for anybody. And it is a problem, I must say. If you book to go to a certain thing, do you have time to stop and help anybody along the road? And then, of course, we have the contrast of the Samaritan. The Samaritans came from the north of Jerusalem. The Jews shunned the Samaritans. They viewed them as a mixed race and even hated each other. They hated each other. These men, the Jew lying on the ground, for all we know, hated a Samaritan. And here it was one that could help him. And he comes over, looks at him and takes pity on him. He went and bandaged him up and poured in oil and wine. And put him on his donkey, of course, and you know the story. Took him to the inn, looked after him. I wonder what he said to him. I wonder what the man that was picked up on, put on the donkey. I wonder what he said. "Thank you, brother." No, he couldn't say that, could he? Because he wasn't a brother. Because they were Jews and Samaritans. Well, they might have been, I don't know. One was a Jew and one was a Samaritan. How did he thank him? How could he thank him, a Samaritan that was opposed to them? And the Samaritan said to the innkeeper, "I'll reimburse anything you spend on this person." Then Jesus asked the simple question to the lawyer. It was a question that a child could answer. I wonder what the lawyer thought when Jesus said, "Well, which of these three?" The answer was so obvious. There was no question which one was a neighbour. But Jesus asked him, Jesus wanted the man to say from his own mouth something and give the answer. The one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." The priest needed to hear that. The Levite needed to hear that. And here the lawyer heard that. The question is, again, who is my neighbour? The one that's in deepest need is our neighbour. The one that's dying is our neighbour. The one that's beaten in life circumstances is our neighbour. The one that's lonely is our neighbour. The one that's no clothes is my neighbour. The one that's wounded through life is my neighbour. The one that's in desperate need. Jesus says, "Go and do likewise." There's a little boy that was living in poverty, in a big city, who found his way into a gospel meeting and was converted. Just a little lad converted. And not long afterwards, someone tried to shake his faith by asking him several puzzling questions. if God really loves you, why doesn't someone take better care of you? He was so poor, this little lad. Why doesn't he tell somebody to send you a new pair of shoes? The little boy thought for a moment and then said, as tears filled his eyes, I guess he does tell somebody, but somebody forgets. And that comes as a question to me and to you. Have we forgotten? Is Jesus our Lord, is the Lord saying to us that we should be the neighbour to a certain person? And have we forgotten? Have we forgotten that one? The one down the road in desperate need, the one in another country. I have a letter here from Open Doors. And it's a sad letter in many ways, and yet it's marvellous in other ways. Apparently, India has come to the top of the list as the most dangerous place for a Christian to live. Now that's staggering. That's just happened this year. And in India, the religious extremists want to rid India of all non-Hindus by 2021. And Christians are a target. And the letter that I received from Open Doors tells us about the way that a Christian called Abhishek, if I've pronounced it right today, is helping those Christians that have been traumatized by this. And they're asking us to pray for different families. And this man goes round and helps and comforts them. Open Doors' vision is to see a strong missionary church rising in India by 2020. With your help, our local partners are seeing committed church leadership, confident women, competent youth, courageous children, resilient families, and an increasing bold and vibrant church. There's so much to give thanks and praise God for. Despite the determined efforts of the extremists to eradicate Christianity in India, the church is standing strong. Janitor, and this is what touches your heart, Janitor and her three young children were lost in grief. They were lost in grief for what reason? Her husband had been taken into the jungle and killed because he was a Christian. She lost her husband because he was a Christian. And now she has to live and survive with three young children. And this man, Abhishek, is able to bring comfort to these families. He says, I went to that family and cried with them. I encouraged them. I comforted them with the word of God. Janitor was telling me, thank you so much. Nobody has come like that and comforted us. And of course, he goes on to ask for support and prayer for these people. So what's the point of me reading that? What's the point of that letter? Why has that letter come to me? Am I that neighbour? Am I neighbour to that lady with three children, no husband? Am I neighbour to her? Is that right? Or am I stretching a point? Or am I a neighbour? I am a neighbour. If that's the desperate need of a person, you see, we have the thought that a neighbour is the person that lives next door. Well, yes, they are neighbours. But Jesus is saying the neighbour is the one that has a desperate need that you come across. And we all come across people like that, in one way or another. Who is my neighbour? The one down the road. The one in desperate need. The one in another country. And it came afresh to me, this story that Jesus told. That through the man, through this Jew that was lying, dying there on the road, the Samaritan came, the one that they hated, the one that was opposed to them, and yet he came and showed compassion to reach out to this man. And God is speaking to us this morning to say, reach out to that neighbour that needs that help and that strength. And we seek to do that. You know, I was an agricultural chaplain for a while, for 7 years, and one of the farmers that I knew very well this spring rang me up. He knew that I'd actually retired from it, but he rang me up and he said, "Who can I ring? My son is suicidal. My son is just don't know what to do with him." And I was able to put him in touch with somebody that was able to help him. The man, the desperate, the neighbour, the one in need. May God help us through this simple story to reach out, because the text that I finished with in one sense is this: go and do likewise. That's what God's saying to us, to me, to you: go and do likewise. May God help us to do that, for his name's sake. Amen. We're going to sing that hymn, "Make Me a Channel of Your Peace."